Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 841. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beaches and sharks and waterfalls and more sharks and coral reefs. And oh my gosh, that's a lot of sharks. As we go to the island nation of Fiji. This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler. Let's talk about Fiji.
I'd like to welcome back to the show Justin Barnes from justinandcrystal.com, who's come to talk to us about Fiji this time. Justin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And Justin has been on the show three times talking about the Big Island of Hawaii and Tenerife and someplace else cool.
Turkmenistan.
That's right. Okay. Excellent. And what's your connection with Fiji? What was the Fiji trip here?
So we visited Fiji about 5 months ago, and it was an impromptu trip because we were ironically supposed to go somewhere else, and that fell through, and we had use it or lose it airline tickets with Fiji Air, and so we decided to make the most of it and go to Fiji, and we had an absolutely spectacular time, and I recommend it to most anyone looking for somewhere tropical to visit.
Excellent. Well, that begs the question, why should somebody go to Fiji?
Lots of sunshine, lots of green forests, lots of blue ocean, and very kind people. Some of the nicest people we've met anywhere on our travels around the
country. And when you say that, that means a little more to me than when someone who says that who's been on their first trip.
Everywhere you go and every single person you visit or meet with, they greet you by saying bula in a very loud, boisterous way. And it's everybody's way of greeting everyone else. And after being there for about 10 or 12 days, when we came back to the U.S., it was just a little jarring to be walking around town and not having people say bula as we walked by.
Excellent. What kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for it?
So I recommend about a 7 to 10 day trip, and I'm going to be talking about two of the islands, Viti Levu, which is the largest and most populous island, and then Tavayuni, which is the third largest island, a little bit more remote and a little bit more off the beaten path.
Excellent. Where we get started?
Yeah, we should probably get started with Viti Levu, which is, like I said, the largest island, has the capital, Suva, and then also the main international airport, Nandi, which is on the west coast. There was a prior Amateur Traveler episode discussing flying into Nandi and then going west to some of the islands that are off the west coast of Viti Levu. I'm going to be actually taking us south to the south coast with maybe a day trip in Nandi and then a couple days in Pacific Harbor and Suva, which are on the south coast of Viti Levu. And then after that, a flight out to Tavayuni, not a long flight at all, and you can fly there from either Nandi or Suva, whichever is more convenient for your itinerary.
Okay. Where are we staying for the Viti Levu part of the trip here?
So we stayed in Pacific Harbor, which if you look at Viti Levu, it is roughly a circular shaped island. Nandi, if you're looking at a clock face, would be about 9 o'clock. Pacific Harbor is about 5:30, 6 o'clock. And then Suva is maybe about 4:30. Pacific Harbor is what they refer to as the adventure capital of Fiji, with all sorts of things on land and in the water. And from Pacific Harbor, it was fairly easy to get out to Suva for a day trip, which is what we did.
Excellent. I have to say, so I think it's a little known, a little hidden secret that as people are talking, I'm looking up places they're talking about and adding them to the show notes and things like that. But I looked up Pacific Harbor and I got a webpage that started with Bula. just for a couple seconds, and then went into what it was doing. It's okay. He was right. Even their webpage is friendly.
Yeah, it's very on brand.
Yes.
There are direct flights to Nandi from Los Angeles. I think I mentioned we flew with Fiji Airways. I think other airlines go there as well. Those may have stops in other locations. I know Air New Zealand flies there. I'm not sure whether that has to go through New Zealand or not, but it's about a 10 or 11 hour flight from Los Angeles. I think one of the questions you asked that I neglected to mention already is, where are we exactly? We're in the South Pacific, about halfway between Cairns, which is the sort of the jumping off point for Great Barrier Reef and Tahiti. So if you go about halfway between those, that's where Fiji is. It's in the tropics and just west of the international dateline, the 180 degree parallel.
Okay.
So you actually lose a day flying out there. And then when you fly back, you actually land earlier than you took off.
Always tricky when you're booking those flights over the international dateline to make sure you arrive the day you are intending to, especially if you have arrangements and hotel rooms and tours and things like that. I have screwed that up before.
So what we did is we landed in Nandi at about 6:30 in the morning, which is when that lands, and the sun was just coming up. And because we had booked to stay in Pacific Harbor, and Pacific Harbor's a couple hours away from Nandi, we just decided to spend that morning doing a day tour of Nandi before heading out to our hotel. And I think that's something that would work well for a lot of travelers, because there are certain things to see in and around Nandi, but not a ton, and they can all be done on a half-day tour, and there's plenty of companies that do that. We actually booked one impromptu just from the airport right after we had cleared customs and immigration and gotten our luggage. And there's a handful of things to see on those tours. The first thing that we saw was a Sri Siva Subramania temple. My apologies for the pronunciation. It is the largest Hindu temple in the Pacific. And if you're wondering why there's a giant Hindu temple there, it's because almost half of the population of Fiji is of South Asian descent. People were brought over as workers on the sugar plantations 100, 150 years ago. And obviously a lot of them have stayed and had generations following that. And so there's a very large South Asian population and a very large Hindu population. And this temple is very colorful. You can take pictures outside, but not in. It doesn't take very long to walk through, but it's incredibly ornate, very colorful, and very close to the airport. Also on one of those day tours, you visit some of the markets. Now, we were visiting on a Sunday, so a lot of the markets were closed, but any other day of the week, I think you would have a much larger farmer's market with fruits, veggies, flowers, meat, fish, the whole nine yards. One of the other items on in and around Nandi is what they call the Garden of the Sleeping Giant, which was actually started by Raymond Burr, the actor. Was it Perry Mason?
Perry Mason and Ironsides were his two big shows.
So he bought
a large everybody property. Else who remembers those, you're also old like me. So
yeah, so he purchased a large plot of land decades ago and built a huge garden that is now a tourist garden that you can visit. And there's a ton of flowering plants around, including an exceptional amount of orchids, all different kinds and colors. Also at that same garden, they have a couple walking trails that you can walk up some hillsides and see the coastline and see pretty good panoramic views in and around Nandi, including a lot of the sugar plantations, many of which that are still in use. Unlike Hawaii, for example, where a lot of that is now gone, in Fiji, there's still active sugar plantations that are being used. Also in that same area, there are a couple of mud pools and hot springs that you can visit. They have changing facilities. If like we were, you were coming straight from the airport, we had not planned for that ahead of time. So we didn't have our bags and our luggage arranged to actually go in the pools, but we saw them. It's one of those, you just get covered in mud. You hang out there, you relax, you detoxify, and then you get cleaned up and go on about your day. Like I mentioned a minute ago, we were there on a Sunday. And so what we did, rather than go in the mud pools, was there was a small church in the village that was right there by the mud pools, and they were having their Sunday service. and Fijian churches are well known for their music and their singing. It was something that you don't see most places across the globe, so I would recommend that. And I think, like I said, this was a day tour. I think the one we did was fairly common, and I think it took about 4 or 5 hours. I think we started maybe about 8 or 8:30. We were done maybe around lunchtime. They dropped us back off at the airport in Nandi, and then we got on a bus to go out to Pacific Harbor. Now, one thing that we had not appreciated, and maybe this podcast will help other people who are planning to visit Fiji appreciate it, is how big Viti Levu is. We had traveled several other places in Polynesia and the South Pacific before, and I guess had just assumed that Fiji was on that same order of magnitude, but Viti Levu is quite large. It is almost exactly the same size as the Big Island of Hawaii. And yeah, and it took hours to get to Pacific Harbor from Nandi, and we were just expecting something like 45 minutes. Yeah, the bus just kept going and going. On the flip side, though, I will say this was a very unique bus in that it was very new, very modern, very full, and it was more or less like a moving movie theater because they were showing movies with the audio as the bus was going along. And what really caught us off guard is that the movies we were watching were R-rated. So that was a new one for us.
That is unusual. Although I've heard of movies on buses as a Southeast Asia thing.
Oh, okay. Could be. But yeah, so the bus I would recommend, because like I said, it is quite far from the Nandi airport. The cost of a taxi is therefore, I think, on the order of maybe about $100, whereas the bus was less than $10. And the main road along the south coast is, for most of the ride, just one lane on each side. So you're not going appreciably faster if you were in a cab because you're going to get stuck behind other traffic. So everybody's going the same speed driving on that south coast. In Pacific Harbor, it's a fairly small, compact area, very walkable or very inexpensive taxis to get from one part of Pacific Harbor to the other. A lot of the hotels are all grouped right around one another, right near the where the bus stop is. And there is some stuff to see in town. What do they call it here? The Arts Village that has a lot of little shops, restaurants, ponds that had flowers in them. And we actually met an American there who had gotten stuck in Fiji during COVID. And after everything cleared up, he had taken to Fiji so much, he decided to never go back to the U.S., so we were watching Monday Night Football with him on a Tuesday afternoon.
Okay.
Also in Pacific Harbor, there are several jumping off points for diving and snorkeling. What we were doing there for the days we were in Pacific Harbor were we were going shark diving, which is a famous dive that is just, I don't know, 20-minute boat ride from Pacific Harbor in what they call the Beka Lagoon, between Viti Levu and Beka, which is an island to the south of Viti Levu. And this is an area where we were out there with dozens, maybe close to 100 sharks, mostly bull sharks, but also, let's see, lemon sharks, tawny nurse sharks, several different types of reef sharks. We didn't see tiger sharks, but apparently it's not uncommon to see tiger sharks there as well. That's diving. You can also snorkel in the area. Snorkeling, you would probably see some of the reef sharks, but you're probably not going to see the larger sharks. But of the dives we've done around the world, that one is definitely right at the very top of the list. It's absolutely incredible. You basically lay down flat on the edge of underwater cliff is how I would describe it. And you're peeking over the edge, and in front of you and below you are all the sharks. And because you're laying flat on your belly, they can't really come up from underneath you. There's no cages. Probably not for the faint of heart, but for divers who...
So your instructions are lie flat and don't look like food? Is that what the...
More or less, yeah, yeah. I figured if they'd been doing this for a long time and if people had gotten eaten, they probably wouldn't be doing this anymore. So I just assumed the best and it worked out well for us. Huh. But on land, if diving or snorkeling is not your thing, especially in shark-infested waters, there's a lot of items in the mountains and hills up above Pacific Harbor. In and amongst a bunch of green valleys, there's rivers with waterfalls and natural swimming pools at the base of the waterfalls. There's a couple different ways you can go up and see that. They have ATV tours. They go up into the mountains, have short hikes to waterfalls, included lunches. There are zip line tours in and amongst the rainforest that have, I think, around 8 to 10 separate zip lines that are interconnected. I think that goes about an hour and a half in total. I think that those tours also go in maybe some of the limestone caves that are in the area. There's also river tours where you take a motorboat up the river and then they put you in kayaks and then you leisurely kayak down the river going past some of the local villages, again, ending at a waterfall they call the Magic Waterfall, which is the largest on the Navua River, which is the one that's right near Pacific Harbor. And feeling a little bit more adventurous and not wanting to do kayak or maybe something in addition to kayak, you can also do whitewater rafting in other parts of the river that are not serene. So yeah, Pacific Harbor has a lot to offer in terms of adventure things, both on land and in the water. I will say most of the tourists that we saw there were from Australia or New Zealand because it's not too far from either one of those. And it seemed like there was a lot of people who had timeshares that would just come there every year for a certain amount of time. We were one of the only people at our resort that were staying like hotel guests as opposed to timeshares. So it was interesting to get the impression of all the people who had come over and over again and what they liked to do. It made it a lot easier because you're getting firsthand information. Right. And now everyone listening to this is getting secondhand information.
I feel like when you are ordering those particular adventures, and this is known as the adventure capital of Fiji, as at least the self-proclaimed, that you can't say, and if you want a little more adventurous, do whitewater rafting when you've already talked about shark diving. But
yeah, I may have buried the lead there. Yes, sorry about that. So from Pacific Harbor, it's not far to Suva, which is the political capital of Fiji. It is about an hour and 15 minutes more on that same bus line, but further to the east. And Suva sticks out like a thumb, like a peninsula on the southeast coast of Fiji. And it has a sheltered bay on its west side because the prevailing winds here are from east to west.
Okay.
And so the western bays are usually a little bit more sheltered, which also probably explains why so many of the touristy spots are on the west side near Nandi. But okay. In Suva, it was interesting walking around town because this is a city, and I don't know how many people it has, maybe on the order of 50 or 100,000, I'm not sure, but it was interesting
walking around. 93,970.
Okay, so there you go. But it's interesting walking around an actual city in a remote place like this. It reminded me a lot of walking around in Papeete, if you've ever done that, in Tahiti. Or it also reminded me of Hilo. Just some of these towns that are a little bit more rough around the edges, definitely more commercial than touristic. But it's just interesting seeing all the shops, seeing how the actual economy of these places work and somewhere outside of a tourist resort. Things to see and do in Suva. There's a bunch of old colonial buildings. Fiji used to be a British protectorate. And there's the Grand Pacific Hotel right there in downtown Suva, where the royal family stayed a couple of occasions. When we were there, I think I mentioned we were last September, the flag was at half staff as Queen Elizabeth had just passed, I think, earlier that week. Also in that same general vicinity, there's Thurston Gardens, which is a large botanic garden with very large, very old trees, a lot of open spaces for picnics and kids running around and that sort of thing. In that same area right by Thurston Gardens, there's the Fiji Museum. Not an especially large museum, but interesting with a lot of displays of things like old boats, like outriggers and bamboo rafts that were used hundreds of years ago. A lot of the old tools, many of them with very intricate engravings, things like war clubs, that type of deal. Also a lot of pottery, cookware, musical instruments, basically a lot of the pre-European cultural items and information on all of that in English. And then best of all, if you're there on a very hot day, the museum is air conditioned, which might be a selling point in and of itself.
You bring up weather. We're tropical. You went 5 months ago. We're recording this in late February. So you went in October?
September.
September, okay. Yeah. And did that prove to be a good time to go? Do you have any other information after your trip about, oh no, a better time to come is such and such? Or
yeah, so the supposed dry season is May through October.
Supposed
dry. Yeah, we've noticed this in several places in the last 10 years. A lot of the what used to be very rigid wet and dry seasons in the tropics are much less rigid now because of global climate change. We got rained on a couple times, but what I'll say is May through October is the drier season. How about that?
Okay.
And yeah, the days were maybe about 80, 85 degrees, something like that. It would basically be the same weather as Hawaii, but right. September in Fiji would be akin to what March in Hawaii or something like that. They're about the same distance away from the equator. I think Fiji is maybe 16 to 18 degrees south, and Hawaii is maybe 19 to 20 degrees north, something like that.
Oh, so interesting. Okay.
The weather is very similar, but just flipped in terms of the seasons.
And so then the windward side of the island, which would be the Suva side of the island instead of the Nandi side of the island, I'm guessing you're in the rain shadow in Nandi?
Yeah, a little bit. The mountains there are not as tall as some of the ones in Hawaii just because they've eroded. But on Tabiuni, where we're going to talk about it in a minute, it's much more wet on the east side than the west side.
Yeah, I see they're a little shorter than a mile high, versus Big Island, which is, almost 2-3 miles high. So yeah, more of a rain shadow. Okay, makes sense.
So yeah, May through October would be a good time of the year. And then one thing, especially if you are a diver, to bear in mind is there might be certain times of the month that you would like to go, because some of the dives that...
because of the tides.
Yeah, and the currents. So one of the famous dives that we went on in Tabiuni that I'll get to here shortly, they do only, I think, 4 nights a month right after both of the quarter moons. So if that was something you'd be interested in going, like I said, we had already purchased our tickets and didn't know any better and didn't think we were going to Fiji. So you just happen to be there at the right time. But if you're planning this and that's something that you're interested in, those dates obviously are easy to figure out ahead of time. Just look at the moon tables.
Now, I am curious, where were you going on Fiji Airlines?
We were going to Tonga. Oh. But Tonga, because of the giant eruption they had and then the COVID outbreak just after that, they still were shut down. And so our tour for last September got canceled, but our airline tickets did not get canceled. So that's why we had to use it.
Apparently the day trip you did in the morning when you first got to Fiji is used by a number of people who are flying through who are doing it as a layover tour.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah, I could see that working quite well.
ButcherBox is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first ButcherBox. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. I also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Yeah, okay, so I think we had left off in Suva. Yeah, so the Fiji Museum and the Thurston Gardens are right near the downtown. There's also a nice little Embarcadero area with nice views of that bay on the west side of town. There's a couple restaurants there right on the water, literally. Meaning they're old boats that have now been repurposed to be fancy restaurants with great views. So that was nice.
Particular one you want to recommend? Or
I don't remember the name offhand, but I will say the food in Fiji, I was thinking about that this morning and talking with my wife about it, and neither of us remembers anything about the food in Fiji, which makes me think it wasn't especially good and wasn't especially bad. It wasn't especially expensive, wasn't especially cheap.
Interesting.
And then one other thing near Suva is what they call the Kolo I Suva Forest Park, which is just a little bit north of town. Again, it's going up into the green hills, thinking again about waterfalls, swimming pools, little hiking trails connecting some of the more popular falls and swimming pools. If you've already done this in the Pacific Harbor area, you probably don't need to do it again in Suva. The ones near Suva are a little bit more crowded because obviously there's a lot more people there. But if that was something that you didn't do that in Pacific Harbor and you wanted to do it closer to Suva, the Kolo I Suva Forest Park is where you would do that.
Okay.
So that's South Viti Levu. And I think I mentioned you can fly to Tabiuni from either Suva or Nandi. Suva has a domestic airport. Nandi is both domestic and international. We actually went all the way back to Nandi because when we came back from Tabiuni after our time there, we just connected straight to our international flight. But it would be easy enough to fly to Tabiuni from Suva as well. Tabiuni, I think I mentioned, is the third largest island behind Viti Levu and Vanua Levu. There is a strait that's very famous between the islands of Tabiuni and Vanua Levu that has what they call the Rainbow Reef, which is where we were going diving. And again, you can do snorkeling. You can access that from either Vanua Levu or Tabiuni. It seemed to be six of one, half dozen of the other. Vanua Levu, especially the eastern part closer to the Samos Strait, you're more or less in your resort. Those resorts are oftentimes just boat to resorts. So once you're there, you're stuck in place.
Okay.
Tabiuni, it's a little bit easier to get around by taxi or something like that. And Tabiuni has some other things that I'll mention here that we wanted to see. So that's why we chose Tabiuni, but it would be easy enough to stay in the southeast corner of Vanua Levu and also see the Rainbow Reef and the other dive and snorkel spots in the strait. So, like I mentioned, the Rainbow Reef is world famous for a couple things. One is its soft corals. These are the corals that you can imagine just flow back and forth in the current, bright colors. They do have hard corals as well. It was well-named. We hadn't done a ton of research prior to going there, and we were overwhelmed by the amount of different colored corals, different shaped corals, different colored fish. Unlike the shark diving on Viti Levu that I was just talking about, in the Rainbow Reef, think tiny fish, 1, 2, 3 inches big, but all of the different colors of the rainbow, including at some of the higher levels closer to the surface, just in thousands and thousands of little tiny orange fish and purple fish, to the point that in some of the pictures we took, it just looks like somebody had dumped confetti in the ocean because there's just little fish everywhere. I guess the reason for that is that the strait between the two islands basically funnels all the water and therefore funnels all of the food that comes in. And then the little fish eat the food and the bigger fish eat the little fish, and so on goes the food chain. So there's a ton of different dive and snorkel locations. Famous dive that I was mentioning here earlier is called the White Wall, which goes down, I don't know, I think we got as deep as almost 40 meters on the side of a cliff with a bunch of white soft corals that are sticking off the side. So imagine, I don't know, rappelling down the Grand Canyon or something with little white corals all along the side of the cliff. Like, it was really impressive, and they had a number of sea caves that you could dive through to go from lower spots up to higher ones. A lot of different types of fish. I think we saw some lobsters, a million different types of soft coral. It was really incredible, all the variety and the colors. And because this area is between two islands that are very sparsely populated, we didn't really see any coral bleaching. We didn't see any evidence of overfishing. This is about as pristine as you're going to get outside of maybe somewhere Indonesia or something like that.
Now, you talk about sea caves. So we're at that point, and I have barely a diver. I've done the intro dives and things. So at that point, you're talking a little more advanced dive.
Yeah, let's put it this way. We don't dive a ton, but we've gone diving enough where we were intrigued by this, but also a little wary. But again, the people that we were with, we stayed at a place called Taviuni Dive Resort. You don't have to dive to go there, but that's where we chose to stay. And they've been doing this 24/7, 365 for decades now. They're run by a great couple, very kind couple that moved out there from, I believe it was Denver or somewhere like that, a couple decades ago. And they took really good care of us and equipment, great dive masters, and they made us feel very comfortable. These caves, I'm going to say, were maybe, I don't know, 15 or 20 feet in diameter. So it wasn't real tight quarters.
Got
it. Was pretty easy to get around. You just made sure to stay in single file order. And you were in these caves for maybe 30 seconds. These were not especially long. But yeah, it was very cool. And that was just one of the dives. There were several other spots we went. One other one that was quite noteworthy was called the Cabbage Patch, which had these hard corals that were maybe, I don't know, 10 feet in diameter that looked like giant cabbages. And those weren't too far into the water, so I'm guessing that you could probably snorkel that as well. Because I'm going to say they were probably 15 feet, 20 feet below the surface there. Mm-hmm. So snorkeling is probably very doable. So that's in the water off the west coast of Taviuni. And there's also several things to do on land. I think I mentioned earlier that Fiji is right along the international dateline. The actual 180-degree parallel cuts right through the island of Taviuni. So one of the things that you can see is go to a spot where they basically put up some signage where you can put 1 foot in the eastern hemisphere, 1 foot in the western hemisphere, four corners, but sure. I guess two halves. All of Fiji, time-wise, they treat themselves just on the west side of the line, but the actual meridian itself goes through.
The timeline is not a straight line. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you need more time for your vacation, just cross the line, you're saying.
If only. Also, right near the 180-degree meridian is a natural water slide. These are well-worn rocks from just millennia of erosion, and especially after a good downpour where the streams and rivers have more water, you basically, you hike up the riverbank for, I don't know, 2-3 minutes, mm-hmm. and then you just get in the water at one of the pools, because there's little pools every so often, and sure. then the steep part, pool, steep part, so on and so forth. And yeah, you just go down like you were on a water slide, but you're doing it in just natural rocks with natural water, and that was pretty cool. It's a lot easier with multiple people, because you're going to want to leave your stuff at the bottom and then just walk yourself up, so that when you're done, after coming down the water slide, you're back to where all your stuff was. And you might not feel comfortable doing that solo, because you might not want to leave your stuff. Again, right. everyone is very nice there. I didn't get any impression whatsoever that there would be any problems with thievery, but I do also understand that people are coming from places where maybe they do have concerns about that they can't let go. So
sure.
if you're doing that, maybe best to be with a group of people, and you can just take turns going in the water slide. Also on the west side of Taviuni, further south, there's a local who has a large garden/farm. It's called Bobby's Farm. He has almost 100 acres of plants, a lot of them with medicinal property and things like that. And you can just take a short tour where they explain what some of the plants are, what they're used for, and that sort of thing. And that was a pretty nice way to spend a leisurely afternoon after doing some diving or snorkeling in the morning. There's a couple things to see on the other side, by the other side of windward side or the east side. Mm-hmm. One of the most famous things is called the Lavena Coastal Walk. So there's a road that goes maybe 2/3 of the way around Taviuni. Think maybe like the one road that goes around Kauai, where it just goes along the coastline, but not all the way around. Sort of similar on Taviuni, and where the road ends on the east side, you start the hike and you walk south down the east coast right along the shoreline with very nice beaches, incredibly tall, much taller than I'd ever seen before, coconut palms. Some of these must be close to 80, 100 feet tall. It's amazing that they don't get blown over. But yeah, just a lovely walk down the coastline, crossing over a couple streams with little rope bridges here and there, just so you don't slip in the rocks walking across the streams. Yeah, so maybe after walking an hour or two down the coastline, the path turns inland and you walk uphill, not too much, but a little bit into a little valley. And then at the end of the walk, there is big natural swimming pool with two different waterfalls coming into it. Some people were walking up the embankment and then jumping in. That looked a little dangerous for what I was interested in doing, but these people managed to do it. Nobody broke their neck or anything. If you're up for it, I would recommend it. Definitely one of those places where you would take your GoPro and get some cool footage. So yeah, that's the Lavina Coastal Walk. And if you're coming from the west side of Cavayuni, that's probably going to be either a long half day or a full day. We were short on time, so after doing that, we then also went to another tourist site that in its own right is a half day or a full day tour, which is the Buma National Heritage Park, which is just a little north of the Lavina Coastal Walk. This is an area with three interconnected waterfalls all along the same river. The first one of them, the lowest one, these are called the Tavoro Water. The lowest one, the biggest one, is accessible via an almost completely flat path, probably only a 10-minute walk or so from the main road. And then to get to the other two waterfalls, that's when you start having steeper hikes up through the rainforest. The paths are very worn, so you're not at risk of getting lost, but they can be muddy and it is steep. But it was very interesting going up in the rainforest, getting above all of the secondary rainforest into the primary rainforest, seeing just some enormous trees, some of the native palms they have there. And then after about 30 or 40 minutes, you come to the second waterfall, and then maybe another 40 or 45 minutes past that, you get to the third waterfall. We didn't make our way to the third waterfall because, like I mentioned, we had already done the Lavina Coastal Walk earlier that day, so our legs were pretty much done with us. But you could easily make those two separate days, or if you just feel like doing just part of the Buma National Heritage Park walk. Like I said, we did Lavina Coastal Walk in the morning and Buma in the afternoon. So it is possible. One other thing on the east side is the Siva Pearl Farm, which is a working pearl farm in a sheltered lagoon. You can learn about pearl farming. You can actually go snorkel in the lagoon. Obviously, you can purchase some pearls there as well, various colors. And then the last thing that I would recommend on the east side, we get to it from the east side, but it's in the center of the island, is the, I could butcher this pronunciation, I think it might be French, but Desvois Peak, which is the second highest mountain on the island, almost 1,200 meters, so getting close to 4,000 feet. You can take a four-wheel drive vehicle most of the way up there and then enjoy panoramic views at the top. A lot of people do bird watching in that area. Again, you're up in the primary rainforest at this point. And then between October and January, you can see a very specific flower that's actually the flower of Fiji, which is the Imodia flower. It's a red and white Metanea flower. It's related to the rose grape that you can see in places like the Philippines and Hawaii and whatnot, but this one is specific to Fiji and it's actually red with white petals. We were there in September, so we didn't have an opportunity to go see it, but it is a striking flower. So if you're there those months, that might be something very worthwhile to go see. I think we spent 3 or 4 nights in Pacific Harbor and I think 7 in Cavayuni, but it would be very easy to do maybe 3 and 4 or 4 and 3, strikes your fancy. Depending on how far away you're coming from, you may want to spend more than 7 or 10 days there, especially if you're coming from the East Coast or Europe or something like that. But from the West Coast, yeah, this is a pretty nice trip to just maybe leave on a Friday, get there on a Sunday morning, and come back the following Sunday and land on a Sunday. Just take 1 week of a holiday, but definitely get your money's worth out of 1 week.
I was seeing that the name of the peak that you were talking about, the Devaux Peak, means greeting. It is, in fact, a French word, and I just have pictures of the native peoples up seeing a ship come in from the peak or something like that. I don't know why it got that name, but it evokes that in my mind.
Okay.
Cool. I think that's your itinerary. Anything else we need to know before we book our trip to Fiji or book our trip to some other place and end up in Fiji?
I don't think so. I saw just earlier this week, and again, like you said, we're recording this in February, whatever remnants of their COVID testing, COVID vaccination entry requirements have been eliminated. So I think we're back to 2019, basically. So when we went, I think we had to, I don't remember if we had to take a test or just show a vaccination certificate or what, but none of that is required anymore. So I think it's fairly easy to go to and from Fiji now.
And was it a pass-fail test or a written test?
Well, we passed, whatever it was. Okay. Yeah, I don't recall.
One question I had from your photos, I see you hiking in the jungle at one point and holding up a fresh piece of fruit that you have picked or that someone has picked for you, and I don't know what kind of fruit you're holding.
That actually is cacao, chocolate.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm used to seeing it in chocolate bars and not in fruit form. Okay.
Yeah, when you see the actual chocolate fruit, it does not remotely resemble what you think it might. Although when you start and sit down and think about it, what does chocolate look like? I don't think anyone really has any idea where it comes from. Yeah, so it almost, when it's peeled like that, it almost looks like an ice cream cone.
When I first saw it, I thought you were holding an ice cream cone, and then I looked more closely. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so it's quite the process to get from the fruit to the actual processed chocolate. I actually went, separate and apart from Fiji, just over a year ago, went to a chocolate museum in Cologne, Germany, and they showed the whole process of how chocolate gets made, where it comes from, where it gets exported to, and that's fascinating in its own right, but that's another story for another day.
Excellent. Let's get to some of our wrap-up questions. And you're standing in the prettiest spot in Fiji, where the part of Fiji you saw. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
So in my case, I'm going to cheat again, and I'm not going to be standing. I'm going to be laying on my belly looking at about 50 or 100 sharks of various sizes, usually on the order of about 10 feet long. But if you're going to force me to be on land, I would be on a hillside on the west side of Taviuni. There's a pretty good slope that comes up straight from the coastline, so it's not hard to be on one of those slopes. And if you look back towards the west, you see the Somosomo Strait in front of you, and then Vanuatu off in the distance, and especially on a late afternoon right around sunset, that's a pretty incredible view.
I'm with you on the shark photo there, or the shark experience there. I'm not with you. I'm with you in spirit. I don't know if I have the guts to do it. But, and because not everybody watches or uses the version of the show, I guess it's not a version of the show, uses a player that they can see the photos that we put in every episode. I'm going to make sure that the photo on the website is one of these shark photos. And I'll tell you, when I saw them, I just shuddered. So they're fascinating and not just a little scary.
I will say, when I showed people some of our pictures and videos, it was about a third of the people went, oh, hell no. A third of the people went, that looks awesome. And then a third of the people said, are you in a cage? And when I told them that we weren't in a cage, they said, oh, hell no.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. And one thing that makes you laugh and say only in Fiji.
I would say it's the bus trip. You're going along the south coast, going from Nandi to Pacific Harbor, and you've got rainforest and pine forests on one side, ocean on the other, and you're watching Kevin Hart movies on the bus. And that's definitely something that it makes me think only in Fiji.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Fiji in just three words, what three words would you choose?
Green, blue, and bula.
Excellent. Excellent. Our guest again has been Justin Barnes from justinandcrystal.com. And I've also been looking at his Flickr pictures and put links to these particular pictures so that those of you who, again, aren't watching can go over and see, especially the shark pictures. But it's just beautiful pictures, a beautiful photography of Fiji here.
No, thank you. Also, make sure to get you a link for the YouTube page that we have. It's got a bunch of videos from the trip, because sometimes, especially for the snorkeling and diving thing, you can get a lot better idea from the video, because you never know on a picture, was it right place, right time? In the video, you get a better idea of what's going to be there.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Justin, for coming back on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Fiji.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
A special thanks to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. If you're interested in becoming a patron of the show, you can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. I'm on the road this week and don't have my regular microphone with me, which is why I sound a little different. So I'm not going to do a lot of other extra things here at the end. I would remind you that we have trips planned for Amateur Traveler for both 2023 to Japan and 2024 to Morocco. More information at amateurtraveler.com/trips. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.